Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Welcome to the Silver Screen and Roll podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Harrison Fagan. Harrison, that game happened.
Yeah, it did. That's probably the only way to describe that game from a Lakers perspective. Like, it is a game that was on the schedule that existed. I'm not going to be able to tell you a whole lot that you don't already know about it, and or that any of our listeners don't already know about it at this point.
As if the game itself wasn't bad enough, we had to, at one point, hear Mark Jackson by himself, right? Dave Pasch's ESPN mic cut off completely. So we had the rare
Mark Jackson. Not if you get the local spectrum feed, Anthony. No, you don't. Not if you get the local spectrum feed. I will say that.
All right. And then, well, since you didn't have to enjoy this too, we got Mark Jackson on replay for a bit. We had a broken record, like beyond what his normal analysis, which is typically a broken record. Man down and protect the paint and hand down, man down, and all that stuff. Like beyond the broken record that he normally is, there was literally a moment where he got stuck on loop. The ESPN feed got stuck on loop where he said the same thing like five straight times. It was a wild night for everybody all around.
You know what's funny is that used to happen with one of the podcast recording softwares that we used to use. The one before this would, like, sometimes it would add like a little loop of the last thing that you said. And mm-hmm. So I know I was done editing the episode when you were like, and talk to you later.
This one, it did that, and talk to you later, and talk to you later. And then it did it for like four or five more times. It was wild.
It's fitting though that on some level that we're talking about repeating the same things over and over, because I think that's exactly what you and I want to avoid doing during this mm-hmm. show. Like, I feel like the two of us, probably as much as any people because of the podcast schedule, have shared our thoughts on what is wrong with this team and what is going wrong and like when we think it's going to be fixed and what's up. And like the same thing happened again tonight. I could have told you before the game exactly what was going to happen. The Lakers were going to lose, and they were going to look like they didn't really have any reliable ball handling. They weren't going to shoot the ball well. Like, and all of these things just cascade on top of each other, and they just happen to run into a buzzsaw in the team that, if they're not the best team in the NBA, they're probably the team that's playing the best right now. Absolutely. Other than maybe the Nets. And, like, so it's just, I don't want to just sit here and just repeat like, oh man, it's really tough when you don't have AD and you don't have Dennis Schroeder, like, and do that for 20 minutes. And so I think that we should try and move in a different direction. But it's just, I mean, for everyone who wants analysis of that game, I have nothing to give you that people haven't given you
help
in the last seven podcasts. Like,
if you want analysis from our standpoint of that game, go get help. Like, talk to a family member. Just find literally any other way to spend your time than searching out Lakers analysis of that game, because you're not going to get it. And I can tell you right now,
people in the replies to big Twitter accounts or something, I don't know, like maybe they have some, they seem to have some ideas on what's wrong from running SSR tonight during the game. But like, yeah, I mean, I have no fresh ideas on what is wrong with this team beyond injuries suck, fatigue sucks. They could use the All-Star break.
You're saying you don't have any fresh ideas. I just finished recording another podcast before this one. So any fresh ideas that I did have went into, which you can listen to every day of the week, everywhere that you find podcasts.
I can't believe that you're going to make me bleep this again. This is unbelievable at this point.
All right. I will say this, though. I do think like you're saying, I completely agree with you that sitting here and just talking about how the fatigue is really setting in and that the Lakers are shorthanded and all of those things, like, there's, to a certain extent, that's going to, while it is the reality of the situation, it's going to become, or at least sound like, a cop-out, right? Excuse making.
Yeah, like, it sounds like excuse making.
Right, but what
it
is...
Which is why none of them are going to blame it. None of them are going to say that this is the reason. They're never going to admit that. But they know if you shot them up with truth serum, they know what's up. Like,
yeah, and to a certain extent, like you're saying, yeah, like, that's just, it's just the reality of the situation. That said, like, I think where that does become a cop-out is if you make yourself blind to some of the things that might actually be going on or some things that might actually be concerning. And I do think there's at least one thing that I can think of that does legitimately concern me at this point. Not that the Lakers in general concern me, but this one aspect of the game, maybe one and a half aspects of the game, actually do concern me here. And it's the shooting, man. Like, at the beginning of the year, the Lakers were generating all kinds of wide open looks. The offense looked fantastic. And then on top of generating those open looks, you had guys like Alex Caruso shooting north of 50% from three-point range. You had a Kentavious Caldwell-Pope shooting just below 50% from three-point range. You had Kyle Kuzma shooting above 40% from three-point range. LeBron was also above 40%. The only players who were kind of shooting below their averages were Wesley Matthews, Dennis Schroeder to a lesser extent, and Marcus Gasol. But for the most part, the guys who just you needed to have step up and knock down wide open jumpers were doing so at a very high clip. And eventually you kind of knew that the reality was going to set in to a certain extent and they were going to regress to the mean. The question was always, well, where is that mean actually going to sit? And it turns out that mean is going to sit in the freaking basement. Like, it's going to sit and to the point where I think right now, Pickup Hoop tweeted out earlier tonight that the Lakers are ranked 25th in three-pointers attempt, three-pointers made, and three-pointers and the percentage of which they knock down those three-pointers. 25th, Harrison.
Yeah, 25th. And it's not... This is a problem. I mean, obviously the fact that they ranked 25th on the season means that it's a problem that predates AD and Dennis going out for the last four games.
Like, yeah, because they weren't like lighting the world on fire.
They didn't shoot 0% the last four games to like tank their averages right, or something down. Like, this is a pre-existing problem. Do you want to know where the Lakers are over the last 10 games where they rank in three-point shooting?
Is it like 35th?
Yeah, no, it's like below the bottom. Yeah, it's dead last.
They're shooting worse than some college teams.
Yeah, they're shooting 20. That's actually true. They're shooting 29% from 3-point range over their last 10 games.
That's just
over their last 15 games. So almost half the season.
Is it weird? It seems high though. Like, is it weird?
30.3%. Yeah.
Is it weird that seems high? If you listen closely, the echoes of the clangs that the Lakers have been unleashing across the country on various road trips and now sitting or whenever they're in Staples Center, the echoes of those clangs are ringing out throughout the entirety of the world. It's just wild. They shoot it from 3-point range, and I'm shocked if it's close, if it looks like a clean look.
I mean, at this point, the rims have to consider a lawsuit. Like, this is battery, what the Lakers are doing to the rims, the backboard.
You're shooting, like, batteries.
Yes. I mean, that's what it sounds like. If you just, like, did, like, an ASMR feed of the rim mic, it just sounds like somebody's throwing, like, batteries and bricks at a basket instead of actually shooting.
Yeah, true story. When I was, like, 10 years old, I thought that armed battery meant that you were beating people up with batteries.
That actually, I mean, honestly, your reading comprehension has never gotten much higher than that. It's gotten a little higher, but
slightly. But are you concerned about the shooting long term? Because it's even, you know, to the extent that we're talking about the shooting right now, it's easy also to just say, like, yeah, they're all exhausted. Of course they aren't shooting the ball very well while they're so tired.
So my answer is a little bit twofold. I think it's tempting right now to feel like this is why people always mistake us. It's not just the voice sound, but it's the points. I think so. Yes and no, Anthony. I am
actually sounded like him there. You really honestly did.
So on one hand, I mean, yes, how could you not be concerned? That looks really bad that they are shooting this poorly, and now it's like half the season that they're shooting that bad. But so I'm like looking through their numbers, and I was getting prepped for this pod tonight and trying to think about what concerns me. And it's funny that you brought up the three-point shooting because that was the first thing I was going to raise. Mm-hmm. And
I was also doing prep, so much prep.
Yes, I'm sure you did. It just goes to show, like, it's I put in all this extra work and we get to the same point. It's irritating. But the Lakers last season shot 30.9% from three. They were second to last in the league over the regular season. During the playoffs, that went up to, 36.2%. Mm-hmm. And, like, 36.2%. Right now on the season wouldn't even be like that would be a they'd be in the bottom 10 in three-point shooting in the regular season. So I think what that goes to show is that during the playoffs, generally teams shoot worse as defenses mm-hmm. ratchet up, but the Lakers raise their game to the point where it's almost like they almost shot, like, you could almost say like 40% in a regular season was like mm-hmm. almost the equivalent, but they shot 6% better against tougher defenses. And I think that part of that, it kind of speaks to that when LeBron and AD are really cooking, like we saw them do during the playoffs, where they're kind of, you really see that intensity raise up a notch. We all saw it last year. And they're creating better looks for these guys mm-hmm. than they're getting right now, because intense LeBron, as we've seen, where he's barreling to the rim, defenses are having to fully collapse on him, the ball swinging around. We even saw a little bit of this to a degree in the first quarter when the Lakers mm-hmm. were sticking with the Jazz tonight. They just didn't have the talent to keep it going for the rest of the evening.
They kept missing so many jumpers that the league, the Jazz were just capable of just completely collapsing.
At one point, they knocked their own rim off with a miss, and then they had to like assemble it while the Jazz scored on the other end so they would have a chance. Yeah. No, so it's bad, but it's also exactly in line with what they did last year. So I'm not like, I don't want to panic, and I don't want to be that guy who gets clipped, you know, 3 months from now. And it's like, oh, these two bloggers are freaking out about the Lakers 3-point shooting, and look at these idiots. They were wrong again.
Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to happen regardless, but I think there is reason for concern, because you can't count on that much improvement necessarily. Yeah. And this is a different team. These are different lineups, and we don't know if AD is going to be healthy, and, you know, Dennis is a different fit, and all of this. Like, there's different context to this year's team, but it's also hard for me to get too worked up given, you know, the short offseason stuff that that a lot of them were. Markieff volunteered tonight that it's all mental for them right now. And that he talked about, this is the most basketball I've ever played in my life. It was incredibly candid stuff. I'm sure the Lakers will put it up on their YouTube. All of you should go listen to it if you get a chance. But like, they're tired. They're ready to admit it. LeBron isn't ready to admit it, but every other guy has basically admitted that they're feeling the effects of this. And like, LeBron's just trying to keep his superhuman brand up, but I think you can see it out there in his turnovers and his shooting.
He can say it, but his body's in the background saying like, I'm exhausted. I'm tired.
It's been like 10 games since he shot above 40% from three.
Yeah.
He's made more than one three. And like, I looked this up to get prepped to ask him a question tonight that I didn't get called on, but whatever. Like, it's been like 10 games since he made more than two threes in a game.
Mm. Yeah. And I mean, you could just look at the type of looks that the Lakers are also getting, you know, and I think this is a part of it. And this is one reason why I think it's going to improve whenever Schroeder and AD come back, is that the caliber of looks that the Lakers are going to get, they're going to improve. The week off that most of the Lakers are going to have, I think all of the Lakers, like, it wouldn't shock me at all if over the next couple games or so, you see LeBron come up kind of sort of lame and then use that as a reason to not play in the All-Star game.
If the Lakers do not stage an injury for LeBron heading into the All-Star break, like, it's irresponsible, honestly, is what it is. Like, they just need to convince him that he's injured.
Right.
Like not even, they don't even need to fake it during the game, whatever. They're like, yeah, LeBron, we just picked up, like, your ankle sprain, it's getting worse.
LeBron, your ankle, it looks black and blue and purple. That's the color of my shoes. No, I'm telling you, man.
It's no, they need to. Yeah, they need to get some of the Space Jam makeup artists, like while he's sleeping, to like apply. he's like, oh my god, my ankle! It's the size of a grapefruit today. Like I shouldn't play. I got to sit out the All-Star game. And the Lakers are like, ah, oh, darn.
Yeah. All right. I'm with you to a certain extent. As far as the shooting, I'm a little bit more concerned, it sounds like, than you are about it, which won't shock anybody.
Yeah.
I didn't know. We knew that it was somewhat fool's gold how well the Lakers were shooting at the beginning of the year. I thought that they were always going to regress at some point. It's just like the meme. I fired off the meme earlier today, right? My expectations were low, but holy bleep, right? That's basically where I'm sitting with the way that the Lakers are shooting the ball right now.
And no, I'm mostly with you, but I do have an actual concern about the three-point shooting, but it's actually not their three-point shooting that I want to talk about. So let's get into that real quick after we take a quick break.
Yep, that and schedule talk here in a bit.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
Can't think of many worse ways to get people hyped for a second segment than, hey, we're going to continue to talk about how concerned we are about this Lakers team. And well, also, no, we're no, going to no, break Anthony, down the, tease, the type of games that they're playing.
I had the big secret coming. So like that's what we in the radio business, which is apparently what I'm in now, I'm deciding, you know, that's what we call tease and throw to break. I don't know what they actually call it in radio, but
well, that's why you and I have never worked radio.
Yeah, that's fair. So the Lakers, the thing that actually does concern me is their defense, which has been the calling card of this team for mm-hmm. like since the beginning of the season, which is against all odds. Like somehow we all expected this team to be better offensively and worse defensively, and somehow they've completely flipped that trend. And I'm convinced at this point that Frank Vogel is, if nothing else, a defensive wizard. I know Lakers fans have mixed thoughts on him at this point after this streak, but like the fact that he's gotten the team to play defense this good is incredible. But the thing that concerns me is their opposing three-point shooting. They are, like, early on in the season, they were, or over the course of the season, they're allowing 32.7% on open threes, which is, like, a little fluky. That's kind of indicative that opponents are just missing shots. Like, I'm not really sure that there's anything the Lakers are doing when they're 4 to 6 feet away that's making these opponents miss, other than maybe their closeouts and their length are affecting it at the last second or whatever. Mm-hmm. Over the last four games, they are allowing exactly the same amount, but teams are shooting almost 40% on those looks. And it's basically the same trend for their wide open threes. And so we're seeing a little bit of upwards regression to the mean from their opponents, which is like, this is going to be telling for me in terms of how real this defense was and how much of it was like bad legs, bad teams, bad shooting, good luck, whatever. Like, we're going to see over the second half of the season how real this defense is, because we saw it again tonight. There's all kinds of miscommunications on who's supposed to be guarding who, what kind of strategy they're playing. You know, the Jazz were getting wide open pull-up threes all night from their best pull-up three-point shooters. It's a mess right now on the perimeter, even if they're still doing okay inside at times. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing that concerns me more than their shooting, because we've seen them flip that switch. I'm a little bit more worried about, like, they need to kind of get this defense in order and make sure that they're having all this communication issues sorted out.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that the Lakers were kind of ahead of the curve on, if it wasn't their actual shooting, their ability to shoot the ball themselves, it was they were very smart defensively in terms of the analytics behind successful defense, right? Not allowing three-pointers, not allowing especially corner three-pointers, and even if you are allowing those three-pointers, and even if they are considered, you know, quote-unquote wide open, the rhythm heading into those shots was such that it might affect the success rate on even open looks, right?
And the good news is that they're still lower in the league on the season on allowing those looks. So they're like, they aren't getting lit up by as many open threes as it feels like when you're watching the games, at least not according to like NBA.com's tracking data, which is, I think, more reliable than our eye tests. But like, I mean, it's been bad, but it could be worse.
Yeah. I also think that how, you know, the offense being as bad as it is right now too, is also putting the defense in a tougher spot. So you're seeing some of that progression to the mean might just be the defense is not able to set up because the offense is just never scoring. So
yeah. And then that leads to transition miscues and things like that. So that does make sense.
Right. So I think it's all, I mean, defense is one of the it's easily, I think, the most difficult thing to try to analyze consistently, especially statistically. And, yes, you know, to a certain extent, I think, you know, we have a long ways to go in just in understanding that portion of the game. But with all that said, like the Lakers, I do think what we have learned through the stretch without Anthony Davis is that like they do probably need to add a better rim protector to their front court, right? They have two open roster spots at this point. Before AD went down and before the Lakers looked this bad, I would kind of wonder if the plan was always to waive Quinn Cook, or if they waived him partially because of the situation that they find themselves in, especially defensively when anybody gets by any of their perimeter defenders. And you know, as a result, I kind of wonder if, like I said at the end of which you can listen to everywhere that you find podcasts Monday through Friday. I said it at the end of the show that this
so much.
I said it at the end of the show that, you know, this felt like one of those games, one of those losses that it at least, like, even if the Lakers don't go out and sign somebody, it feels like one of those games that a smart front office will say, like, hey, this is who we're looking at. We might be bringing in your replacement. If you don't pick things up, we might send you out or something like that, you know, and even if it isn't, you know,
well, Anthony, they already sent that message. They cut Quinn Cook right after the Wizards loss. They were Quinn, like, you're not getting it done. We're cutting you tonight. And like, they cut like the most well liked guy on the team
who carries the burden of how poorly the Lakers have been playing. That'd be the biggest dick move of all time. the Lakers just losing overtime to giving up a 17-point lead to the Washington Wizards. Quinn Cook is just sitting there, and Rob Pelinka goes over and slaps him across the face. This is your fault, Quinn Cook.
Pelinka's like, that's a nice Quinn Cook you got there. Be a real shame if something were to happen to it.
Right. He said that to AD as he's trying to get him to come back a little early, right? Like, if you don't come back and things don't pick up, you want your chemistry teammate. You want your chemistry teammate. He's not going to, we can't use roster spots on a chemistry teammate so long as we play this poorly. But I do kind of wonder though, like if this is one of those blowout losses that, I mean, it was embarrassing for all but the first quarter in this one, right? It was right at the beginning of the second quarter, the Jazz come out and hit three straight 3-pointers and the Lakers were never that close. That was
nearly 3 quarters of garbage time. Yeah,
it was. And I kind of wonder if, and like the pejorative version of this is the one that I explained first, right? Where, hey, if you guys don't pick shit up, we will go out and get your replacement. The other version of it is, hey, we are doing our part to bring you help, right? Nobody has to go anywhere. We can reinforce you guys with a little bit of help here. And if we get you know, one of those leaks that, hey, the Lakers are looking at this and they're looking at this potentially, it might be one of the versions of those two situations, right? Where the Lakers just kind of say, this is where we find ourselves right now. We got to go out and get some help because most of these guys have been playing basketball now for 16, 18 months straight at this point.
Yeah, and we don't even need a leak. Frank Vogel admitted pregame tonight that they're looking at guys for their roster. He wasn't well. God bless Jovan Buha trying to press him on like what the needs were that they were trying to address via the buyout market and whatever. And Frank shut that down so quick, but I respected him for asking. And he's like, "We aren't going to answer any specific names, and I'm not getting into internal discussions."
Thank
but,
you
hey,
for your like, service, Jovan. I appreciate.
No,
that.
Yeah, seriously, on genuinely this time, this is not a Tim Kawakami thank you. This is an actual thank you. But Frank said that they're looking at guys and they're considering options to make the team better. And like, to some degree, of course he's going to say that, but also they are just the fact that they're doing that and they're freely admitting it. And they cut one of the most well-liked teammates in the locker room means that they know that this team is not where it needs to be right now. And whether or not that's an evaluation of like, we are not a championship contender with Quinn Cook, I don't know. But they clearly recognize this team needs all the ammo it can have to get better. And so they wanted two potential buyout signings rather than just one. And to me, the fact that they, number one, just that they cut Quinn Cook, again, who's close friends with AD, a lifelong like Laker family member, as beloved of a teammate as you will find in any NBA locker room.
One of the most beloved, yeah, right. I was going to say, like, not just in the Lakers locker room, but everybody loves this dude.
Cut a literal three-point shooting human teddy bear. And because they realize that this team needs a spark. And to me, that tells me that they know where they're not, that they're not where they need to be. And so whether or not I don't think that this is a matter of like, it's not like, oh, we need Dwayne Dedman right now to fix this rim protection issue while AD is out, or it's not anything like that. But it's
I would say that the shooting is walking Dedman.
Yeah. And Dwayne Dedman is not going to solve that either. But they're looking and they're waiting, and maybe this allows you to make an uneven trade. This allows you to potentially, you know, sign two buyout guys, whatever it may be. They clearly want to get better, and they're setting themselves up as much as they can to do that. And so to me, that is a recognition of their own flaws and that something needs to be shaken up, even if it comes at the expense of Quinn Cook.
Yeah. Which is a bummer. I liked Quinn Cook, but I...
Yeah, I know. I genuinely really like Quinn Cook. I think Sabrina and I did a goodbye to him before they re-signed him, days later already on the podcast. Yeah.
Yeah, so we on... which you can find everywhere that you find...
Unbelievable. Your lack of professionalism.
Well, David would say I'm being really professional right now.
Yeah, well, Harrison's going to say that you're fired in a minute if I keep having to add these bleeps. But no, so let's talk about the schedule real quick before we get out of here.
Let's finish on schedule stuff. So this blew me away, like legitimately blew me away, Harrison. I thought, tweeted out like before we got any kind of details about the schedule, that because the Lakers didn't have any postponements in the first part of their
before thinking, wow.
Well, no, I thought about it and then I tweeted it because I thought the analysis made sense. But it turns out the Lakers or the league is oof, I almost used the term there that I would have really regretted. But Adam Silver sent out a giant himself to every NBA player, given the type of schedule that he's asking all of them to participate in.
No, it's rigged. The league's rigged against the Lakers, Anthony. That's my only conclusion to draw from this.
Not rigged, but I will say that, like, so heading
rigged,
into...
Rigged, finding, I tell you.
Calm down, Aisha Curry. But so but we were like... I thought that because the Lakers did not have any postponements or cancellations in the first half of the season, that in the second half of the season they would have a lighter load because they would provide more time or space for those teams that did have postponements to make up some of their games, and as a result the Lakers might have fewer back-to-backs. But as it turns out, nope. The Lakers are still going to have 8 back-to-backs over the course of the final, 32 games or
35.
So just under half of their games are going to be played as back-to-backs.
That's the part that's wild. Like 8 back-to-backs, like that doesn't sound like a crazy amount in and of it. Like 8 doesn't sound, it's like, oh,
16
8 games.
16 out of 35
16 games.
are going to be played in that kind of situation. The Lakers are going to be on national TV, I believe. How many more times? It's like 16 times.
It's 16 times on like the on NBA on ESPN, ABC, or TNT, with potentially more on NBA TV, and potentially even more at the end of the season when the big networks have not decided their schedule. They're waiting to see what games are going to be the most meaningful. And if the Lakers keep playing like this, they may be in one of those. This
might matter. Yeah. All I'm saying is if you can, try to go get a refund on League Pass, because you're going to be able to watch the Lakers without it for as much as you might want to. But
unless
yeah,
you're Anthony and you live in Texas, and then you have to pay for it.
No, even then, like they're on national TV so often. I regret paying for it. It was a stupid move on my part. but what other than the number of back-to-backs and the fact that the Lakers are going to be playing, I believe, in the fourth toughest back end of the schedule. Now, those things change, right? Like the Lakers are currently slated to play the fourth toughest second half of the season out of everybody in the league. But depending on the team's records that they're playing right now and how they finish at the end of the year, some of that might change.
If the Lakers win a bunch, they could make their schedule have looked easier in retrospect because they'll tank those teams' records. Yeah,
exactly. Right. Like, and you know, it says that Utah is going to be playing the second easiest schedule of everybody in the league. Well, Utah doesn't have to play Utah.
I'm telling you, Adam Silver's rigging it for Utah. He's like, the Jazz need a championship. These big markets.
Oh man, but yeah, I would say, aside from the number of back to backs that the Lakers are playing, and aside from the amount that they're going to be on national TV, look at some of these road trips, right? So they have, they go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games on the road. One of those being against the Clippers, but still, they go at Sacramento.
Yeah, so it's
at
more
Los
like a
Angeles.
5-game road trip because they come home and stay in their own beds. But
right, but still, you know, technically 7 straight road games in that one, and then later in the year you have 1, 2, 3, 4 straight. That one doesn't feature a Clippers matchup, and it's just like I'm looking at the schedule, and I'm wondering. When do the Lakers actually get their rest? Are they ever going to be able to practice? I think they've practiced like, what, 4 times so far this year? 5 times?
No, according to my counter, it is 9. I believe they might be practicing tomorrow, but that, like, I heard that, but that also doesn't seem right to me with their traveling back from Utah, so we'll see. But
yeah, that would shock me. So, like, the practice, by the way, I think has impacted the ability for, like, Alphonso McKinney or Devontae Kaycock.
9 practices and 2 shoot-arounds so far.
That's wild. That's unreal. The lack of shoot-arounds certainly makes sense. But
the shoot-arounds, that's a logistical issue that every team, like most teams are not shooting around, although the Lakers already kind of
ignore those. I'm saying they're shooting as if they never shoot around.
Yeah, that's fair. But the shoot-around thing is more common across the league. I think the practice thing is a little lower than most teams, it's my understanding.
Yeah. They're older and... Yeah. They have a lot more continuity to them than most teams. But still, you know, there are some aspects of the game that you would like to be able to work on. Guys like, you know, the Lakers right now look like they kind of need to toy around with their rotation just to get some fresher legs in there. But you can't really do that when you don't get practice time for guys like Kaycock, McKinney, and so on and so forth to get in there and show you something. Coaches aren't going to feel comfortable just like throwing them out there without any practice. And it's just, you know, where the Lakers kind of sit right now, it's tough. You got to get through it. You got to take advantage of the week that they're going to get off here in 4 games or so. But you look at the schedule that they have on the other side of the break, and this is one of those situations where I was just hilariously wrong. Just stupidly, mortifyingly wrong on predicting that the Lakers might have a somewhat easier second half of the year schedule.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not going to be one to be surprised when you're wrong. But yeah, I think all of us thought that maybe the NBA would space this out a little bit more, but again, maybe they just don't want their big market team looking good going into the playoffs. Like, you know, that's, as we all know, that's bad for ratings. So
it's a better story.
Yeah, you got to let the little guys win. So that's why, again, league is rigged for the Jazz. That's the point that I'm running with the rest of the season. But in all seriousness, I before we wrap up, I just want to say that I think in the second half of the schedule, I know we already talked about how difficult it's going to be, all this stuff. If they keep playing like this, or if AD keeps missing more time, I don't want to be the guy, like the blogger that's never played in the NBA, to say, I presume to tell LeBron how to manage his body better than he can and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But just logically, at some point, he may need to give up the MVP chase thing that he's clearly gunning for right now. I know he wants it, but I don't think he played that many minutes tonight, or at least not that high leverage limit in minutes. But at some point, they got to talk to him, like, if things keep going like this, because him just exerting a bunch of energy to try and win an MVP award that he may not even win, but either way, doesn't win the Lakers a title, is not necessarily the best thing for the team. And I'm not, this is not me claiming LeBron's being selfish or anything like that. I just say he's a competitor and he wants to win and he feels like he's been slighted over the last decade. I completely understand. But I think that at some point a dialogue needs to be had about maybe not a hard cap on minutes, but pretty close to it. Or at least, you know, we saw them start to load manage him a little bit more tonight on the floor by making sure that THT or Caruso was always out there with him to make sure that he had someone else to handle the ball. And I would assume they will continue to do that when Schroeder comes back. And that helps even a little bit more in that respect, mm-hmm. to make those minutes a little bit less high leverage in terms of ball handling. But at some point, if things keep up like this, they're going to have to ease him off the gas a little bit toward coming down the stretch of the season, because it's getting sad to watch almost, especially these last couple games where he's playing MVP caliber basketball, but around him. Not the 3-point shooting, but he's getting to the rim. He seems to have some pop, at least when he's around the basket. Mm. You know, he's playing hard. I think he's playing hard on defense. At least in my mind, I don't know. Again, tonight, I barely watched.
I'm just looking up some numbers while you talk, but go ahead.
I'm going to admit that I did not watch the entire second half tonight. I just spent it writing because I thought that there were better uses of my time than watching that meeting in the second half. But yeah, for the most part, I thought that he's looked okay on defense. And, you know, he's clearly trying to take this whole team on his back. And while it's admirable, I just don't know if it's the wisest thing. And, you know, I heard you and Pete talk about it on a different podcast where you were saying that, you know, you don't want to presume to tell him how to manage his body, and that
he knows that
better than anyone. But also this is exactly what we all said about Kobe when he was coming down the stretch. And again, mm-hmm. Knock on wood, none of us want that to happen to LeBron. I'm not saying it's going to happen to LeBron, but he just needs to be careful, I think, and I just hope that that's taken into consideration.
Sometimes athletes need to be protected from themselves, you know? Yeah. He embarked on this season very clearly with a goal in mind, right? He wanted to make up for the MVP that he didn't get last year. Giannis doesn't even get to the finals to where he could make that message all the more definitively, right? Like, this is me taking apart the dude who got my award for me last year, right? If that's how LeBron felt. And he said that this year he was going to go out and try to win that award. Quite frankly, though, the last five games with AD out, he hasn't played like an MVP. He probably won't continue to play like MVP these next four games either. And you know, like you said, it might be beyond his control whether or not he has a chance at winning this thing.
The Lakers can go on a run in the second half of the schedule. AD comes back healthy,
And make people forget about this completely.
Even if he does, this stretch will be used against him in bad faith.
Well, sure. I mean, they can try, but it would be really stupid.
That's what I mean. It may be out of his hands. I'm not saying that this lost it for him, but there are definitely going to be people that are like, oh, well, AD
this is the ammunition that they were looking for. I will say, though, regarding him around the basket and those things. So over the last five games since Anthony Davis went out, LeBron's only attempting 4.5 free throws a game. And, you know, you compare that to his season totals, and LeBron is averaging.
I may have been fooled by the Ducks then. I felt like he had some decent pop around the rim, but either he's not getting calls or he's just not getting there as much as I thought.
And that's been something too.
Maybe my eye test was off. Yeah,
but so this year he's averaging 5.8 free throws a game. So it's not a giant dip. He's not shooting half as many, but it's been noticeable.
Look, I may have overstated when I said MVP caliber, but he has at least he's put up numbers and he has tried to take this team on his back is more as what I was trying to get at. And I just think that right now he's basically ramming his head against the brick wall, trying to get them to win games.
Right.
When this is just right now around him, he's the only dynamic playmaker, scorer, guy that can create his own shot consistently out there and for most of these games. And you're just not going to win games when you just have a bunch of complimentary players around you. You need a couple other guys with some pop. And I do look forward to Schroeder returning on Friday for that specific reason.
Yeah, I mean,
and it sounds like he will. That's obviously not confirmed, but it sounds like he will.
It's the craziest thing. Right before we went on the air today, Harrison, you know, lobbed out Dion Waiters as a name that the Lakers could maybe bring in on a 10-day. I thought it was an extreme move on, you know, that you would but you know what?
Honestly, I'm not against it. Okay, I'm not against bringing in Dion Waiters on a 10-day.
Like,
if you're looking for reinforcements or somebody to just come in and like mess around and give them some reinforcements for 10 games, bring in Dion. He knows the system at least. Like.
Sounds like you're high on Dion Waiters.
Yeah, I'm definitely high on Dion.
You're high on Dion Waiters.
Yes.
All right, that's gonna do it. Before I accuse my boss anymore of taking drugs, before we do a podcast,
you admit I'm your boss. I just real quick before we leave, I just want to say like final farewells to the podcast fedora. I had to. You didn't even notice tonight, but because you're off your game
too.
But
I was kind of wondering what was going on here.
No, I had to say goodbye. You know, it was like after this 4-game losing streak, frankly, they don't deserve me wearing the podcast fedora. And I just we got to change up the mojo somehow. So
all right.
Podcast fedora is gone. It is on suspension until they turn things around. And then maybe suspension. The podcast fedora will come back.
Only suspension.
Yeah, only a suspension right now.
Okay, well.
It could be a ban. Like, if they turn it around starting next game, the podcast fedora may be banned.
Oh, all right. Well, then all the reason. LeBron, everything that we talked about, managing your minutes.
Forget it. 48 minutes.
That's going to do it for this episode of the Silver Screen and Roll podcast. Make sure you guys are tuning in, not just to this show, but all of the shows across the feed. Please, please, Lakers, play well this next game so I don't have to look at Harrison wearing that fedora ever again. And then please continue to check this out. And Harrison and I'll talk to you next week.